Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitchell.
David.
What is it about this time of year? Just like it seems so, we talked about this a little bit before the show, seems so slow and like people are just
kind of stagnant.
Yeah. Well, everyone in Tradewinds is slow. Guys I know around here, even in the HVAC space, dude, it's hot.
Yeah.
They're slow. They're only getting repairs. It just seems like so, like you said, stagnant.
Yep.
It's boring.
Yeah.
It's just lame.
Yeah.
I can't figure it out, man.
I can't quite explain it. We are.
Are you guys slow too?
We're slow-ish, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, part of it, too, like from when we started our company to now, our pricing's totally different. So we're running less calls, but we're making the same amount of money. So we're working less for the same. That's not a bad thing.
No, it's not.
But, yeah, when you're the cheapest guy in town, it's easy to be the busiest guy in town.
But yeah.
That's not a place where I want to be.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, social media is divided and nasty, and like I can't even go on there anymore. The only wormholes I'm going down now is just Instagram videos about people in car crashes and comedians. Like that's all there is to,
that's funny,
you know, laugh about. There's
yeah.
nothing good going on, man. It just seems very, very depressing.
Yeah,
right now, and I don't like it.
Yep,
I hate it.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird time for sure.
It's no fun.
Usually I'm in for a solid reset about these times, which is why I've been taking my vacations usually like last of July, first part of August.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, and, you know, we've got the event coming up.
Yeah.
July 26th, which is open to the public now.
Yeah.
Maybe I should put something on my social media about it's open to the public.
Maybe you should.
Maybe I should do that. Hey, July 26th.
Yeah.
Las Vegas. Getting out of town for a few days. I'm going one day early. My wife can't go. I'm going by myself.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to... I can't decide if I'm going to cut loose and go crazy for one day or if I'm
by
just
going
to... I've been asking the guys in the group.
Like trying to figure out who's coming early?
Yeah. Like I need a partner in crime
who's
not bringing their wife. And everyone's like, oh, I'm not going. No, I can't. It's like, come on, guys. Can I get one motherfucker to go crazy with for like one evening?
Yeah.
Like eat a $200 steak, gamble away $1,000.
I don't think.
Get drunk. Have to
call
Mitch and
our
drive
flights.
Me back.
Danielle and I have already bought our flights, but they're for Friday morning.
Yeah. Well, I can't partner in crime with you.
You
have your wife with you.
Oh, she'd partner in crime.
No, she'll narc the fuck out of us.
She'll snort blow off a hooker's ass just like everyone
First
else will.
First off, she's never done blow, okay? We know damn well that ain't true. Can you imagine if she had... Dude, she's crazy as fuck now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to be in the same fucking state
nope.
if that happens. I don't want to be no part of that.
Yep.
That's just crazy, 101.
Yep.
So if you want to come and you listen to the podcast... It's July 26th.
Yeah.
Go to tradewindsconsulting.com or winninginthetrades.com and buy a ticket.
Click on events and buy a ticket. They're $200.
Food's 90.
We're covering the food, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Food's like, I can't get 90 out of my head. It's actually like 110 now.
Yeah.
It's $110. Literally, you get all day marketing, marketing talk, spending the day with me and Mitch and the Tradewinds members, free food all day for $100.
Yeah.
I checked today, Luxor, so we're staying at Mandalay Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Luxor is next door. They have rooms for $208 a night.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
Just walk next door.
Yeah.
That's it.
Save some money.
We'll sneak into the fucking pool and the Caribbean cooler and the wave pool and all that at Mandalay Bay.
Yeah. We
maybe
got
I'll,
you.
Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll just drink daiquiris and float around in the fucking cooler for one whole day by myself.
Dave's on lap 47.
Dude.
And beer 13.
Did you flip? Like, I'm just sunburned on the front, nothing on the back. Ugh, be That's awful. Funny. I've been that. I was only that guy one time when Janine and I went to Cancun and we got married.
Yeah.
Like, we got drunk and just laid out in the sun for like 3 hours, and you forget how close it is to the sun on the equator.
Yeah.
I was fried, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking fried. Ugh.
Yeah. That's crazy.
See, even you, your energy's low.
Oh, mine's
tired.
Way low. Yep.
It's just floating around, man.
Yeah,
it's palpable. It's awful.
It's just a bad time.
I know.
So
maybe we got to start getting up early and drinking all day.
Well, I'm thinking about doing another kind of a reset where I just cut out everything and just go like ultra clean and ultra lean on the diet.
Yeah.
And just reset that direction.
I don't.
So.
That's never really worked for me, but you know what does work is like 3 days on your own hunting or fishing.
Yeah.
Like no phone, no one to talk to, just completely solo.
Yep.
Out in nature.
Yep.
But that's usually, it's got to be at least cool out for that, for me.
You going to raw dog the flight to Vegas?
What's raw dog? Raw dog is no sex with no condom.
No.
That's what I call raw dog.
Raw dogging on a flight is no magazines, no phones, no headphones. Silence.
I don't do that. That's me every flight.
You raw dog every flight anyway.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I say that the last time I was on a flight, I did watch when we went down to Florida. Was that last year? No, year before. Yeah, it was last year. We took Layla down to Florida. I did watch movies because you don't have to pay now. They just play something.
Yeah.
It's free.
Yeah.
Most of the time I spent watching the stupid airplane thing over the map.
Yeah.
And it just shows you as you're going. Yeah. I watched that more than
anything
else.
We're going 300 miles an hour.
Yeah. Layla's like, Dad, are we really going that fast? I was like, yeah, you can't feel it.
Yeah.
Like, just fuck with it.
Yeah.
You can't. I feel like we're going, it like halfway through, she's like, yeah, Dad, I feel it. I feel we're going fast now.
We're going fast.
Just like,
jeez.
Janine's just looking at me. What the fuck's the matter with you?
That's funny.
Ugh. Man.
All right.
What are we talking about today? Oh, I know
today,
what we're talking about.
Yeah, we're hashing out.
Rehash episode two,
which is core adversity number one that you need to overcome in order to start your business. And that is personal finance preparation. So if you're newer to listening to this show, the original first 9 episodes of the show, we talked about the 6 core adversities you need to overcome to be successful with your business. And after this show hit 200 episodes, we decided let's rehash those 9 core episodes.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're doing. And so here we are in episode 202, which is a rehash of episode 2. And so it is personal finance preparation, how to prepare your personal finances so that you can focus solely on the business. And one of the things that I want to hit on, and I don't know if we've talked about this before. I think we have. There's a show on Netflix called Undercover Billionaire with Glenn Stearns.
Never seen it.
Glenn Stearns is a really cool dude. They also did the same show with Grant Cardone. But a lot of people don't like Grant Cardone.
No, he's a huge douche.
Yeah.
I can't believe they let him do his own media.
And so this one was with Glenn Stearns. He's kind of more of an under-the-radar kind of guy, but very brilliant guy. And so basically they dump him off on the streets of Detroit.
We have talked about
this. With like nothing but, I think he's got like $2,000 in an old ratty square body pickup truck. And that's it. And he has 90 days to become a millionaire. And he does it on the show. And
some of that has to be fake.
No, it's pretty legit. It's pretty legit.
I'll watch it, but I'm calling half bullshit.
In the early episodes of the show, there's a lot of really good nuggets in the show for how to start your own business and how to perceive things, what your perception should be on certain things. And in the early episodes of the show, He runs the budget for how much his lodging and meals are going to cost for the next 90 days. And he was like, that's hurdle number one. I can't focus on growing a business if I don't know where I'm going to eat tonight.
Yeah.
If I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight. And he sleeps a couple nights in his truck.
Man, have you ever slept in a truck? It's awful.
Yeah. Thankfully, it's a bench seat.
Ugh.
But he sleeps a couple nights in his truck. But he's very outspoken about the fact that first I got to get my, essentially, personal finances in order. I gotta get my lodging covered and my meals covered for the next 90 days. And so he budgeted out what that was going to cost. And I think he found lodging in like a halfway type house or something. Like, it wasn't glamorous.
Super cheap. 10 by 9 room.
And he budgeted out for food and everything else. And that was his first amount of money he needed to make. And he made that money. And by doing odd jobs and, you know, picking up scrap off the streets and then selling it and shit like that.
Collecting cans.
He actually got permission to go on this vacant property, and they had these giant tires on this property, and they're used. But he took the tires and then sold them for hundreds of dollars each. They were like big tractor tires.
Those are expensive.
Yeah, he took them. They gave them to him for free, and he was able to sell them for hundreds of dollars each. But essentially, he covered his meal and lodging expenses. And then there was a very pivotal moment in the show where he's like, all right, now I can focus on the business. And that's essentially the high level overview of this show. It's like, we got to get your personal finances in order and in under control so that you can focus on the business. Because if you're worried how you're going to make, you know, rent next week, that's going to consume bandwidth. That's going to distract you from your business goals. So we need to get that covered. And I'm not saying necessarily cover it for 90 days, but we need to get your expenses, your personal expenses, as low as possible. And we need to get you set up to where you can focus totally on the business.
Yeah. And that's what the entire personal finance prep episode was about originally.
Yeah.
Was you've got to have all your P's and Q's in order.
Yep.
So that you're ready, you know, when the work starts flowing in and when you're ready to quit your job.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And so some of the things to consider are credit card debt, right? There's no world where large amounts of personal credit card debt is acceptable for long periods of time. You know, you can be the house that puts everything on a credit card and then pays it off every month and gets the points. My wife and I just bought $5,000 in airfare for free off of credit card points.
Yeah.
So, like, you can totally do that, right?
Yeah, we do it. We do it every month.
Yep. And when one of those surprise expenses comes up, like the furnace goes out or whatever, maybe it takes you 4 or 5 months to pay the credit card off. But living with high credit card debt and not having a plan to get out from underneath it is a sign that you're going to struggle in business, because if you can't manage your personal finances, business finances are more complex. And you're gonna really struggle to manage those.
Well, first off, if you don't have the discipline to have no credit card debt, you don't have the discipline to run a business.
Right.
You just don't have it.
No personal credit card debt.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're not talking about business debt.
Yeah.
You do not yet have the skills it takes to run a business.
Yeah.
It's literally that simple.
Yeah. So if you need to go Dave Ramsey or something like that and do the debt snowball thing and get out of debt first, that's great. Do that. Right.
Yeah. It's even, I don't want to interrupt you, but it's even more important now. Mm-hmm. Like, interest rates are high on homes. Mm-hmm. Like, everything is more expensive. If you start that snowball downhill now, not the snowball to get out of debt, but now, you are in way over your head very quickly.
Yeah.
Like, you need to, business aside, you need to cut that fucking card up and get out of that cycle.
Yeah. The credit card one is the biggest, because that's unsecured debt. There's nothing that
it's
you
bad
could
debt, 100%.
Yeah, it's not like vehicle debt. Vehicle debt we'll talk about in a second, but credit card debt, it's not like you can sell the asset to pay off the debt.
No.
You can't sell last week's Grubhub.
No.
You can't sell last month's Kenny Chesney tickets.
First off, if you're using Grubhub every week, stop.
Yeah, no shit.
It's already expensive enough to eat out, and then now you're paying someone, what is it, 10, 15 bucks to bring it to your house?
Yeah.
Dude, you could eat on 3 days of beans and rice for that. Like, what are you doing?
I was listening to Alex Hormozi.
Yeah, I know who he is.
I don't
know a lot of the people that you bring up. I know that guy.
Yeah, phenomenal dude.
Yeah.
Very smart. He said his accountant brought it to his attention that he ate at Chipotle 500 times in 1 year.
Holy shit.
And Alex is a very, like, he's big into fitness. He's jacked as fuck. Right?
Chipotle's not bad for you.
No, Chipotle's...
It's okay for you.
A lot of weightlifters like Chipotle because it's the right kinds of carbs and it's the right kinds of proteins and everything else.
Yeah, and you can pick and choose what you're eating.
Yeah. And so his accountant was trying to give him a hard time. Like, dude, 500 times...
I wonder what the number was.
Chipotle, I don't know. I mean, it 12, 15 bucks every time you go.
I was going to say 1250 times 500.
And Hormozi... He was fairly successful, like getting into success at this time. And he was like, dude, that's cool. Like, I like to see that. Because he was able to show value of like, I pull up, they make it, I leave. I don't have to grocery shop, so that saves me time. I don't have to prepare it, that saves me time. And I'm able to like eat on the go or whatever. And he was like, I can make a sales call and earn $500 over that hour. But it would take me an hour to eat lunch by the time I like went home and made it myself or whatever. And so like, I'm okay spending the $10 on lunch if it allows me to make the $500 on the sales call.
Yeah.
And he was like, but a lot of people short side that and they say that as an excuse and then they never make the sales call.
Yeah. They just sit there in their office and go through Instagram.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's times where spending money makes sense. But carrying high credit card debt is not good. And
are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/thevoid or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Like vehicle debt is another type of debt that you need to kind of examine. Ultimately, you just want to make sure you're not upside down in your car before you start your company.
No huge payments. Even if you're not upside down, say you're, you know, on the right side by 10 grand, but it's an $80,000 car.
Yeah, if your payment's $2,000 a month.
Yeah, if you're paying $900, $1,200 a month, that's a problem.
Yeah. And so you want to examine, you know, selling the car, getting out from underneath that loan, and then driving a clunker. I say clunker. But driving a...
You mean reasonable.
A budget-minded, reasonable vehicle.
Yeah.
That's smart to do. Because, again, when you go from W-2 to self-employed, you lose your ability for credit. You lose your... You lose your consistent expected income, right? Because now you got to hunt for income every day.
Yep.
And so you don't want to drive a clunker that's going to break down on you, but you don't need to drive the best of the best of the best.
Yeah. If it was like as a business example, you maybe don't need that brand new Transit. Maybe one with 50,000 or 60,000 miles is just fine.
Yeah. Yeah, for buying a vehicle for the business. Yeah,
well, I was just it's an easy comparison.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
I will say a lot of people get hung up on vehicles for some reason. Like they have to have a new one every 3 years. They have to have the biggest and the best. And I have always, you know me, I have always viewed vehicles as a loss. Like it doesn't matter what it is. In my mind, unless it's a classic or a supercar or something that's going to at least hold its value, I view them as a loss.
Mm-hmm.
So we hold on to our shit till it's dead.
Yeah.
And we don't care.
Right.
I mean, but for some reason people get hung up on, I got to have the newest, I got to have the biggest and the baddest truck, I got to have, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's just, it can be, and I'm not saying you're a bad person if you do that, but it can be a trap. And if you do run into hard times and have to offload that thing, you're going to be pissed.
Yeah.
And you're going to be upside down when you unload it.
Yeah. Right. And that's, you know, it's just not that's healthy the biggest finances. Thing is maintaining awareness for where you're at. If you're upside down on the vehicle, you want to handle that before you start business. If you're right side up in the vehicle and you don't have any other large bills, then maybe you can keep the vehicle. But just know that you might have to sell it for capital in the future.
Yeah.
But you can only do that if you're right side up in it.
And like we talked about in the original episode, it's a reevaluation, not a get rid of.
Yeah.
You know, before we get too far away from credit card debt, I watched that today. You know, just making my notes, all that stuff. When you were talking about credit card debt, you were saying, I can't remember exactly what you said, but it was very poignant, and you looked right at Marcus. like right at him. You could see it was the dad look of, I know you have credit card debt, you son. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was like, it made me laugh out loud. That's like, oh, I never noticed that before.
That's funny.
It was funny.
The vehicle debt is something to take into account and evaluate. It doesn't mean you can't have vehicle debt. You just need to examine that before you go. And like when I started my plumbing company, I was driving an $800 Ford Ranger, single cab, short bed, two wheel drive.
The Danger Ranger, baby.
Yeah. Roller windows, AC didn't work. It wasn't automatic.
So it wasn't even a fun Danger Ranger.
No. No, it was scary as hell to drive in the snow. That was the most dangerous vehicle I've ever driven in the snow. A Ford Ranger doesn't even have enough traction to overcome its own wind resistance at 60 miles an hour on a snowy road.
No.
Like, it'll start spinning the back tires just trying to go faster.
We had one in Warrensburg when we hired our first salesman. Mm-hmm. We bought him. It's so dumb. It was like a dull purple extended cab Ranger and put Air Design on the side of it and everything. Mm-hmm. Dude, I almost crashed that thing like 5 times because we would rotate vehicles around. Hey, I'm going home early. I'm doing this, whatever. And we all drove, you know, everything. In the rain, seriously, almost 3 times. I was sideways on I-70 2 different times doing 65 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I don't know how that thing didn't get totaled.
It was crazy.
They were junk, man.
But, you know, prior to that, you know, I had nice cars prior to that. I had a 2000. Now this was, let's see, I bought it in 2015. I think I sold it in 2018 as I started preparing for our company.
I thought you were going to go way back to like the Dodge Magnum. You thought you were cool with the station wagon.
No.
A lot of power.
No. I mean, I had a 2015 Mustang GT that was built and fast and rowdy and all kinds of fun.
I had forgot about that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
I sold it when I started posturing for my own company.
Yeah.
And it took me 2 years to get out of all personal debt with the exception of my mortgage before I started our company.
Yeah.
And that's where we were before I started my company, is I got out of all personal debt with the exception of the mortgage. And all cars paid for, no credit cards, no nothing. And so I had to work for other people for that 2 years getting out of debt.
Yeah.
And then once I was out of debt, I was free and clear. And part of that was getting rid of the fancy Mustang GT.
Did it pain you at the time, or did it excite you because you knew that, like, I have the level of commitment that I'm going to get rid of this thing that I love?
Yeah, I was
to
excited.
Do something else I love.
It helped that at that time I also had an '89 Mustang that was a sleeper.
Oh, Betty White.
Betty White, yeah. And that car was paid for. And as I was building that car was really fast. It looked like a 4-cylinder Mustang, but it had a giant turbo on it. And,
well, I mean, I don't want to derail us. Was it a 4-cylinder turbo or V6 turbo?
No, it was originally a factory. It was a 4-cylinder automatic car.
Gotcha.
And I got it given to me by a plumber friend of mine. His parents were getting rid of it, and they were like, it doesn't run.
Just take it.
It's been in the garage for 14 years. If you...
Holy shit.
Yeah, they were like, if you tow it out of here, you can have it. And it had a broken window.
Dude, if anyone wants to give me a free car, I will always take it. I don't care how big of a piece of shit it is.
So I towed it out of there. I had to put new tires on it. 14-inch rims, 5-inch wide tires. They cost me like $18 each for tires.
At Walmart.
Yeah. But I, you know, new plugs, new fuel filter, got it up and running. Drove it to work and back for like a week. And I'm like, oh, cool. And then the motor blew up in it.
Oh,
it,
shit.
It didn't like coming out of a 14-year slumber.
Yeah. That stuff doesn't work when it's not run, you know?
And so because now I've got like a whopping $200 invested into this car, I'm like, well, I can afford to do some motor stuff. And I'd done a little research and found out that you can actually convert those to a 2.3 turbo fairly easily.
Yeah.
And so I did. And I did it all in my garage, converted it to a 2.3 turbo.
Was it a turbo? Yeah. I was thinking it was supercharged.
No, it was a turbo.
Oh, shit.
It had a turbo from a 5.9 Cummins turbo diesel on it.
Of course it did.
Yeah, it's an HX35 turbo for you gearheads out there. But that thing drove like a two-stroke. It was gutless down low, like off the stoplight, wouldn't even do a burnout.
It takes a little while to hit that power band.
But once you hit about 15 miles an hour, man, it would come to life and start making all kinds of noises nobody expected to hear out of that car. Turbo whistles and wastegates blowing off, and it was so cool. And I mean, we had a lot of, like, I did all of it in my garage. Built the motor in my garage. I bought a welder and learned how to weld on the exhaust in my garage.
Yeah.
And I put dual exhaust on it, but hid it behind the bumper, and then I welded the single rusty, crusty tailpipe back on. So, like, it looked like a four-cylinder.
Of course you did. I don't remember that.
So that's why I didn't feel bad about selling the nice Mustang.
Yeah.
That one was nice, too, but it was old. I didn't feel bad about it because I had told myself, like, if I build this car and it has so much as 300 horsepower, it doesn't weigh anything.
That's fast.
So, yeah, a 300 horsepower Fox Body Mustang is just as fast as a 450 horse new Mustang.
Yeah.
And so, you know, ran it on the dyno, did well over 300 horsepower, and I'm like, well, this car is more fun to drive than the 15, and it's paid for.
Have you seen that thing? I know we're going to move on, but Joe Rogan talking about cars, you know, he's rich and has tons of money. He's like, you know what my favorite car is? My original Porsche air-cooled turbo 5-speed.
Yeah.
He's like, it's not that fast, but it feels fast.
Yeah.
And when you're driving it, it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that Camaro that we have, that 68 Camaro.
Yeah.
It's not fast.
Yeah.
It's a 350 out of an old C10. You know,
yeah.
It's probably got 210
220 horse, yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? It's fun as shit to drive.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like you're driving it. You're on the ground. The rear suspension sucks.
Yeah.
But you feel like
you feel
you're driving
bumps,
something.
You smell the fuel.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like a Rolls Royce that's got, you know, 800 horsepower and does 0-60 in, you know, 4 seconds at 5,500 pounds, but you don't feel it.
Yeah, because the suspension's too smooth.
Yeah, it's just, it's like driving around a house.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not as much fun.
Yeah, we, I ended up, actually, it's kind of funny we're talking about this in personal finance prep. I ended up selling that Fox Body to start our company. So I drove.
So you sold the green one to get out of debt.
Sold the green one to get out of debt and start lumping the payments of the green one towards credit card debt.
Gotcha.
And then, so we got out of debt and I owned the Ranger outright and I owned that Fox Body outright and I owned my wife's car outright.
I don't mean to be personal, but. Did you have a lot of credit card debt?
Yeah, we had about...
Did you really?
Yeah, we had about $20,000 in credit card debt. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's not crazy, and it socks away, like, you pay it off pretty quick when you're...
When you're dedicated.
Adamant about doing it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's, you know, it's, as a business, when you hear $20,000, you're like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
But as a, you know, two people... working,
yeah.
Two kids and a house and all that, and you hear 20, it's like, oh shit.
Yeah,
that's a lot. And
I'll
mean
take
to bring
a step
up
back.
Here.
I don't want to say it was $20,000 in credit card debt. We had about $20,000 in total debt.
Oh, well then that's
so some of that was my wife's car. And so we wanted to get her car paid off and all the credit. I can't remember the exact split. It's probably like $8,000 on the car and $12,000 in credit card debt, if I had to guess.
That's not bad. And so, I don't mean to bring up your personal stuff, but
yeah, no, that's fine.
You know, it's sometimes it's refreshing to hear people's real stories of, hey, this is where I was at, and this is what I had to overcome to get there.
Yeah.
So that people don't feel like we're talking over their heads or, oh, they're successful and they're this and that. No.
Yeah.
We started out like everybody else. Fucking broke, spending money in ways we shouldn't be spending money, having toys we didn't need to have.
Right.
You know, had to make those sacrifices to get where we are now.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like my wife's car was a 2013 Ford Fusion. Which is a solid car. I'd recommend that car to anybody.
They seem to be fairly reliable.
Yeah.
That's why they quit making them.
Probably.
Yeah. We can't sell new cars if these are going to last forever.
Ours was the 2-liter EcoBoost model, and I can't really attest to anything else, but like all I ever had to do on that car was like wheels, tires. The thing had fragile wheels. You'd hit a pothole and bend a rim.
Yeah.
Or
a curb.
Well, you'd hit a curb. You'd hit a curb and destroy the rim.
She was a curb bopper.
But I mean, you'd just drive around and hit just a normal everyday pothole, and the rim would bend. So wheels were an issue on it. I had to replace like the rear struts, maybe brakes, and then I had to replace a motor mount, and that was it.
That's not bad.
Definitely nothing major mechanical. I think I had to replace the battery in it or something, but nothing major mechanical.
That doesn't even count. Batteries don't count.
Right. And so we wanted to get her car paid off and it was still good and reliable. The Danger Ranger was not glamorous, but it was reliable. The Fox Body Mustang was not reliable because it was a hot rod, But I had the Danger Ranger.
Yeah, shit blows up at any given moment on
yeah.
a hot rod.
Yeah.
That's what turbos are made for.
That's, yeah.
To exactly. crack heads.
And this was a Chinese turbo, too. So it's one of them spoolie boys.
Ugh.
But so we ended up, you know, I put my dreams and aspirations on hold for 2 years and focused hard on getting out of debt. And then the last straw before we started our company was I sold the Fox Body Mustang for $6,000 in like January of 2020. And I used that $6,000 to finish my basement. And it provided all the material to finish the basement. And then, keep in mind, this was 2020 when COVID was going on.
And interest rates were 2.49%.
Super cheap.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to finish my my plan for us to start our business was I was going to refinance our house, reset the mortgage out to 30 years just to make sure we got the payment as low as possible before we embarked on an unknown financial journey. And then I wanted to get a home equity line of credit on the house. And so in order to get that home equity line of credit for as much as possible, I wanted to have as much finished square footage in the house as I could.
Yeah.
And so there was strategy to it. Sell the car for $6,000, take that $6,000, invest it in the basement.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information in a one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this.
And then reappraise the house, refinance the house, and do a home equity line of credit.
Did you end up refinancing the house and then getting a HELOC on top of it?
At the same time.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, and I want to be clear here. I did not do a cash out refinance. It's not like I owned a $400,000 house that I only owed $200,000 on and I cashed out $100,000 of equity and then started my mortgage again at $300,000.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. I did a home equity line of credit, which means it's a line of credit on the gap between what you owe and what the house is worth.
It's a line of credit on the equity up to 80%.
Up to 80%
of the equity you have in a house.
Yeah.
You know, for simple math, if it's a $400,000 house and you have $100,000 worth of equity in it, they're going to give you $80,000.
Yeah.
In a HELOC.
Yeah.
Up to.
And
actually, I think that's a little down now. I don't even know if they'll go as high as 80 anymore.
Yeah, the loan-to-value ratio they won't exceed is 80. So yeah. It all depends on how much your house is worth and how much you owe.
Do you remember what that interest rate on that HELOC was?
Yeah, so we didn't time this. This was just luck. Luck is where preparation meets opportunity. We were preparing to start the business, and then the opportunity to refinance came along, and so we do it. And again, this was COVID.
Yeah.
This was the spring and early summer of COVID. And so I think we were in the low twos, and we still have that rate today.
Well, you have it on the house. Was the HELOC
the same
interest rate?
I think the HELOC's like a half a point higher. Yeah.
So I looked today when I went back and watched because, you know, we talked about, you know, if you have no other choice, refinance your house and push that date out further to mm-hmm. lower your house payment. Well, now you can't do that. You know, interest rates are 6.5, 6.9.
Yeah. It depends on what your current rate is. Like, it's something you want to look into, but it might not make as much sense today as it did 5 years ago.
Yeah. Now, I will say the HELOC option is still a pretty decent option. Like, you can go to Bank of America and get a 6-month HELOC at 6.4.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not refinancing the whole house. Say it's only for $40,000.
Right.
And you're only paying interest on what you actually pull out and use.
Right.
So it's really not any worse than a car loan was back then. Like, you could get car loans back then for, you know, 7-8%.
Yeah.
And then even after the 6 months goes by, it's still at 8.4.
Yeah.
Like, I I wouldn't mind paying. Like, if I had to get my ass out of a bind and get $40,000, I'd take the 8.5%.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a big deal. It's still an option. It's just not as easy as it was before.
Right.
It's a little more painful when you're writing those interest payments. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So we lucked into the lower interest rate then, but we had also lived in our house for about 10 years at that time, 8 or 10 years. And we bought our house at a great price. We built our house, but built it at a great price. Home values had skyrocketed between then and where we were. And so like all the things kind of aligned for us there. But we were able to reset the mortgage back out to 30 years. And what that did was it allowed us the lowest possible payment. And so if we had a tight month in business, we weren't committed to a giant payment on the mortgage. And when you restart it back to 30 years, your payment typically goes down if the interest rates are relatively comparable. And so the idea was we're tied to a smaller payment now. However, if the business does well, we can go right back to making the same payments we used to, and the house will pay off at the same time it would have. So the refi was more of just a safety net than anything else.
Well, if work dried up for a month,
yeah,
you didn't have to pay that $3,500. You only had to cover your $1,800 payment or $19,000 or $2,000 or whatever it was,
right?
You know, and get your ass out of a bind and then just double up the next month or get back on track the next month, and it wasn't a big deal.
Right.
You know?
That's the value of preparing your personal finances on the mortgage side of things appropriately.
Well, and let's be honest. That was 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. We shot that.
Yeah, we shot that 3.5 years ago. I did the refi 5.5 years ago.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean that interest rate, like we're talking now, a 30-year is 6.7, mm-hmm. 6.5. That's not to say that here in another year, if the economy keeps rolling like it is, they may go down to 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
If they lower the interest rate 1.5 in the next year, this is still completely viable information.
Right.
When it comes to refinancing your mortgage, especially for those of you that, you know, got an interest rate on the way up.
Yeah.
You know, you may have got in at 5.5.
Yeah.
Or 6, which, let's be honest, like in 1982 when house interest rates were 12%, that people would have killed for that.
Yeah.
You know. But now as it starts to come back down, it becomes a more viable option. It's not going to be forever that it's at 6.7, 6.5.
And you don't have to do both. You don't have to do the refi and the HELOC. If you've got a great rate on your house now and the refi doesn't make sense to reset it out to 30 because the change in interest rates would make your payments very similar, then don't do it.
That would be a stupid thing to do.
Yeah, you can do a standalone HELOC without the refi. And like you were saying earlier, the cool thing with a HELOC is if I need $10,000, I pull $10,000 out of it. And then I use that $10,000 for business, and I turn that $10,000 into $14,000 through hard work and sweat equity, right?
Yeah.
And so then I take the $10,000, I put it right back in the HELOC. Yeah. And then I hold my $4,000 in my hand that I've earned by using my $10,000, right? And so then you roll with business that way. And then something comes up and you need another large chunk of change. Like, I used my HELOC like I was my own banker. Because again, when you're new into business, you don't have credit. And so you got to find a way to have credit when you don't have it normally. And so I use the HELOC for that.
Yeah. It's basically, you know, it's kind of like having a $50,000 credit card that is only at 8% instead of 33%, like most credit cards.
Yeah.
It can actually be a very, I don't want to say smart, but it can be a very safe net.
Yeah.
For when you get out on your own. You know what I mean? Because you never know.
Yeah.
You buy a Transit that's got 60,000 miles and the engine blows out of it. Well, you don't want to take all your payroll money and do that.
Right.
Well, now you got the HELOC and it's only 8%.
Right.
2 months you pay that thing off, the money's still sitting there.
Right.
You know, it can be very handy.
Yeah. And for the finance novices out there, credit cards are unsecured revolving credit, and that's the most volatile. Unsecured means there's nothing to sell to pay off the loan. It's there's no attachment to that loan to any asset of any kind. Your mortgage is a secured term loan, meaning it's tied to the asset that is your house. And then it's got fixed terms. The revolving credit, there's no fixed terms, which means it may take you forever to pay it off.
Yeah.
Whereas the mortgage has a fixed term to it. Same with a vehicle. It's a secured fixed term loan.
Yeah, it has a scheduled amortization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the HELOC is kind of a cool hybrid between the two because it's secured revolving credit. And revolving meaning you can max it out and pay it off and max it out and pay it off constantly. But it's secured, which means it's attached to the asset that is your house.
Yeah.
So just some basic finance stuff there. Other things that you need to consider before starting your company is adjusting the quality of your life for a little while. If you're the type that likes to keep up with the Joneses and be flashy, it's going to be very difficult to succeed in business early on. You know, if you're the type that likes to be seen out at the club and likes to be seen posting all the bling and the fancy shoes and the fancy watches and everything else, that might get you in trouble early on in business.
Well, that's your priorities are out of whack.
Yeah.
Like that's just, if you've got a transit payment and you're barely going to make it and then you're out at the club, like you said, or out at Marina 27 spending $600 on dinner,
right?
Your priorities are out of whack.
Yeah.
And that gets back to the discipline thing that we were talking about earlier with a very expensive car. Like it takes discipline. You got to get rid of that thing.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be wasting money, especially in the first, you know, in the first 2 years of business when things are very volatile. You have to be disciplined.
Yep.
You have to have your priorities straight. You have to have your ducks in a row.
Yep.
And you have to be very consistent and very dedicated to the way that you're running that business so that it can be successful.
Yep.
You can't just be running around willy-nilly like a fucking idiot.
Right.
Like you said, well, check out my Rolex. We had a great month last month.
Yep.
Come on, man. Don't be stupid.
Right.
You haven't been in business for 6 years.
Yeah.
Or 10 years. You know?
Yep.
Don't act a fool.
Yeah. Yeah. The personal finance status is going to be a pretty good indicator as to whether you're expected to be successful in business or not. And so if you're really struggling in that area, you definitely got to hone that down first. And I mean, that's the cool part of this show is, you know, I started my business 5 years ago. And it was 7 years ago that I started getting out of debt in order to start my business. And I spent 2 years to do it. And so it's not like I did all of this overnight and like 1 week I got out of debt and the next week I started my company. Like, don't think it happens that fast. I sold my flashy car 2 years before I started my company. And I sold my other car in order to start my company. And so, you know, there is things that you have to give up in the short term.
Yeah.
So,
well, you have to sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know,
and then once you get the business to a healthy, stable, somewhat predictable level, then, and you have systems in place, which are coming in these later episodes of these core episode rehash episodes. When you have good systems in place that help ensure predictable levels of income and predictable expenses and everything else, well, then you can start opening back up and enjoying some of the finer things in life.
Yeah.
But you need that predictability. You have that predictability right now with your employer or your employment status, right? I was a plumber and I started a plumbing company, but like as a plumbing employee, I can go get a job tomorrow as a plumber.
Oh yeah.
Like everyone's looking for plumbers, right?
You could literally go out tomorrow and get a job and be making $170.
Yeah. And
if
so
it's on commission.
So the reason I'm saying all that is like when you have that kind of security in a job, buying a car on payments is not a foolish thing to do. But when you don't have that kind of security in a newly started company, then those types of purchases become foolish.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping you would go that way because that's kind of the way the original episode went. It was, why do you have to, you know, have all of these things done and in order and prepped and all of that? It's because when you quit your job and you don't have those W-2 earnings anymore, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just go to the bank and get a car loan.
Right.
You can't just go refinance your house.
Right.
Like, you can't get a personal loan. There are no options. You have no W-2 earnings anymore.
Right.
Which means you have to either have a significant amount of savings or have everything lined up in order so that when you do hit those lean months and there's not a ton of money coming in, you can still cover all your bases.
Right.
You can't have credit card debt. Can't have a monstrous car payment.
Right.
Can't have a huge house payment that you can't make. Like,
yeah.
You have to be prepared because there will be a couple of lean months in those first couple of years at a minimum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you just, it's crazy how quickly, and we talked about this in that episode, how quickly the bank will cut you off.
Yep.
When you don't have a W-2.
Right.
I mean, it's like a fucking guillotine.
Yep.
It's over, man.
Yeah.
No more borrowing.
So when I started, and we're going to get a little bit more into this in the next episode, episode 203, where we talk about business finance preparation. But I'll give you a little bit of a teaser now. So I financed my first van, mainly because I didn't want to spend all my wad of capital on the van. And I didn't want to be broke, right? I didn't want to have a van but be broke. I wanted to conserve the capital. So I financed my first van, but I had to do it before I left my W-2 job.
Yeah.
Because if I left my W-2 job and then went out to finance the van, the bank would be like, no.
Yeah.
And so I had to go into the bank at my W-2 job and fill out all the loan paperwork, and they approved me. And then after I bought the van, I put in my notice.
Your 2 weeks notice. So, I did. You know, we kind of had gone into that, and just to give another teaser, like you said, I went and actually did a little bit of research. You know, once those W-2 wages are gone and you've started out on your own and you're only in that first year or first 2 years,
mm-hmm.
If you guys have started your business, okay, and you don't have those W-2 earnings and you didn't have your prep done and all of that, and you're needing business loans, the ones to look at are SBA loans, and that's just through the Small Business Administration,
mm-hmm.
if you need something, okay? Online lenders are fairly flexible. They have what they call a CDFI, which is a Community Development Financial Institution loan, because they get grants, and they are trying to loan that money out for small businesses to start up to grow communities.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just a couple of examples of places to go if you did get the cart before the horse and you weren't quite ready yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there still is that weird abnormality in today's society where it's easier to get a $100,000 student loan for an education that might not earn you shit, but yet getting a business loan for 40 grand to start a business is very difficult.
Yeah.
And
the CDFIs are kind of built for that.
Yeah.
They are really, I will say this, and this isn't a race or political thing. If you're brown in skin color, it's easier for you to get those.
Yeah, minorities and protected classes definitely have an advantage on the SBA loan.
Yeah, so if you didn't know about that and you're brown, dude, get a loan.
Yeah.
I'm giving you, like, go, it is a lot easier for you.
Right.
So take advantage of it.
Yeah, it, depending on race, depending on sex.
Yeah, women-owned businesses can qualify for those also. Yeah,
if you're a veteran, that may change your status there, and also if you have disabilities, that may change your status there.
Yeah,
and so basically, any of the protected classes do have that is one area where they've leveled the playing field and said, yeah. No, we're going to make it. You know, we're going to make it a little easier for this person to get it. And rightfully so.
Yeah. And the SBA, the Small Business Administration loans, they're a lot like that as well.
Yeah.
You know, so look into it. Yeah. I mean, and if you're white, look into it anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
I'm not throwing white people under the bus here. You're fine. Look at it too. Like, there is some seriously good short-term loans for businesses that are coming off of the grant system,
yeah.
I guess is what I know they're not grants, but I don't know exactly what they're called, but those are a couple places to look if you do need some money and you started out and you weren't quite prepared.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and for the active listeners of this show that like follow me on social media and stuff too, I'll probably use this as inspiration to make a post about that old Fox Body Mustang that I sold to start my business. I'll probably find some pictures of it and post it and talk about how like, right about now, 5 years ago, I was selling this car to start our business. So,
yeah.
I mean, it was a little over 5 years ago, but, you'll get to see, if you follow me on social media, you get to see the pictures of that. So.
I know we're going to wrap up the show here in a minute, but I do want to talk about, we talked about side work. in the first episode. And you and I have very differently. There were a bunch of comments on the side work deal, like, hey, no, I do side work, this and that, blah, blah, blah. I am still a big fan of doing side work, quote unquote, the right way. You know, don't be stealing from your boss if you're still at work. But do every side hustle you can do. And sack away as much cash as you can. Have your views changed on side work any since then? It's been 3.5 years.
Yeah, not really. And so a lot of people misunderstood my views on side work. I don't mind side work at all. A lot of people thought I hated side work, and I don't mind it at all. My, I allow my current plumbers to do side work. I don't mind side work at all. I just want it, like, side work is a great way to earn extra cash to get your business starting off the ground faster, right? Or to pay off debt quicker or whatever. However, there's a lot of people that think side work is preparing them for the disciplines needed in business. And that's where it's not helping you. And so what
they are not the same.
What I mean is your traditional side work customer is not a traditional customer. The side work customer knows they're getting work on the down low. They know they're getting work on the cheap. The expectations are totally different and everything. And so, like, do all the side work you want. Don't think that it's helping you prepare for delivering.
Mentally, for being a business owner.
A certain customer experience or a certain sales process or anything like that. It does generate money. And if you're going to do side work, generate the money and then use it wisely, right? But don't think that because you've served 50 customers on the side work style, that that experience is going to directly correlate to your first 50 customers when you're a legitimate business. Because when customers work with a legitimate business, their expectations like triple over a side work business, right?
People doing
side work all that, like you hear this all the time. You know, oh, I had a guy that was going to cut down trees for me. He just does it on the side. I went ahead and paid him in advance and he ghosted me. Well, that's the kind of customer you get when it's side work, right?
Can be.
Whereas when you're a legit business, it's totally different. Those customers want the work done before you collect the money. They want to make sure you delivered on every promise you made. They're going to run your name through the mud. Like, because you're a business, they can run your name through the mud. But when it's side work, what are they going to say? David took me for money. Like, there's no business to shame there. And so, that's probably been one of the bigger confusing pieces along the way is people think that I'm against the side work, and I'm absolutely not. It's just use it for what it is.
Well, and it doesn't prepare you as well as you thought. You know what I mean? And shameless plug here. If you are doing side work and you want to look a little more professional, Tradewinds has a phone app.
Yeah, it's $5. It's not even $5 a month.
It's $9.99.
Oh, it's $10. It's not even $10 a month, though.
No, it's $10 and you own it. If you want to be able to bid jobs accurately, get the app. If you want to be able to invoice from your phone, either through text messages to someone, to your client, or through email to your client, get the app. You can literally invoice straight from the app. It's the Jobwinds job calculator.
Tradewinds job
calculator. What did I say?
You said Jobwinds.
The Tradewinds job calculator, it's on Google Play and Apple. We've sold like 10. Okay, we know it's not going to be some big, giant, money-making app, but if you seriously need an easy way to invoice, it's $10. If you don't want to pay for House Call Pro, what's House Call Pro now a month?
It's probably $400 a month.
What's QuickBooks a month? 68?
You
can invoice through QuickBooks, and it looks shittier than the one that we created. QuickBooks invoices suck.
So we know it's on Apple. I'm looking through my Google Play store, I can't find it yet.
It is on Google, but you have to have the link because the way that their algorithms work, you have to sell over so many.
Before you show up in the search results?
In the description of the show, both of those direct links
you'll have
are
the link
in there.
Sweet.
They've been in there for 6 weeks.
Cool.
They are in there.
Sweet.
So, you know what? And I haven't posted a lot on the Void Facebook.
Right.
Because that's supposed to be your job. But I will make a short and a link, and I'll give it to you to post on there.
Yeah.
How about that? So people can find it.
Sounds good.
Easy.
So that's going to wrap it up for this show. If you guys have questions as we're going through these episodes, our emails are also linked in the description of the show. You can send us emails and ask all the questions you want. Ironically, I'll answer one of the questions here. I got a great question over the week, and it's one that we've never been asked before.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. And so let me...
And while you're looking that up, I'll say we talked about the event before. The link is in the description of the show also. You can find that if you... Come and hang out with us.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to get completely canned on Friday night and come hungover just to eat the food and listen to a little bit and then go out with us Saturday night, you can do that too.
And
we don't care. No,
we're not,
no discrimination here.
We're not picking up the bar tab by no means, but last year I did sweet talk a male bartender into covering our entire tab because he was trying to hit on me.
I'm not saying you guys went to the bathroom together. I don't know what happened.
No, we never lost sight of the public group.
I wasn't there.
But there are definitely some incriminating photos where the guy caught me off guard.
Dude, Chris
and
Panette
started grinding on me in front of everybody.
It was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
A lot of fun.
And it was all in good fun, too.
Like
the guy
it wasn't,
didn't offend me. I didn't offend him.
Yeah, like no one went to jail. There wasn't anything crazy.
Nope.
Like, but everyone had a good
we had
fucking
a fun time.
Time, man.
All right, so Jake Bennett
What
emailed
Jake Bennett
in.
Have to ask?
He said, "Hey, Mitch, first of all, I wanted to say I love the podcast, and I really appreciate you guys going over the core episodes again. I listened to the core episode nine so many times as I was starting my business, so thank you for those. Anyway, my question is about garbage. I'm planning on bringing on another guy soon, and if work keeps up at this pace, I was wondering what you guys did in the early days before you had a shop and regular garbage disposal. Right now, I throw everything away in my home trash can, but I can't expect my guy to do that. I don't live in a convenient area to have a dumpster for them to use. Did you guys just have the guys bring it in and dump every Friday, or how do I handle this?"
That's a great question.
He says, "I appreciate you and Dave, and I hope business is good." And so, solid question. It's one of those like overlooked things of like, it's the simple things that'll trip you up. How I handled garbage in my business, was I worked a deal with my parts suppliers as I was getting all my pricing ahead of time. And we're going to go into this on the business finance prep side of things. But as I was working my agreements with my parts suppliers, I got permission from all of them to use their dumpsters and to dump scrap water heaters there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I started my business, I was our only plumber for 9 months. Excuse me. And we already max out our trash here at the house with, you know, four people living here. And so I didn't even want to try to throw work stuff away at home. And so, you know, I'm going to the supply house 2 to 3 times a week anyway to refresh my truck stock. I would just dump my trash when I was there and in their dumpster, and it was all good. And they didn't care at all. They were like, "Yeah, dump your trash. We get all your business." Like,
yeah,
perfect.
I did the same thing. So my dad's office building that was over off Nolan Road and I-70, mm-hmm. I just paid part of his bill.
Yeah.
So they had a commercial dumpster.
Yep.
And I'm not saying it has to be a relative or anything, but you can go to almost any business or anybody you know,
yeah,
buddy, quote unquote,
yep,
that, you know, "Hey, man, let me, you know, use your dumpster and I'll pay you 25% of it."
Yeah.
50%. Like, let's split it because you have space for it. And if you know someone that's in an industrial area or commercial area that can get one and they don't have one, ask them if you can just use their address.
Yeah.
At worst case scenario, get a trailer, take it to the dump.
Yeah.
Like, worst case scenario.
Yeah, yeah, worst case scenario. We also had an arrangement. So our parts house was about 15, 20 minutes away. But I'm friends with a restaurant business owner here in town. And so we also had an arrangement that if we ever needed to dump trash and didn't want to drive the 20 minutes, like we didn't need to go to the supply house, she was like, "Yeah, just give me a heads up and let me know, and you guys can dump trash behind our restaurant."
Yeah,
because
most of the time they're locked up.
Yeah, yeah.
Around here. And I mean, let's be honest, even if you don't know someone that well and it's an acquaintance or whatever, and you go to them and say, "Hey, I'm not asking to use this for free. Could I give you $20 to use this
mm-hmm.
a month?
Yeah.
I'll just come over here and give you $20 cash."
Yeah.
People will do it 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
They don't care. They want it. It's amazing to me how much people really want to help each other.
Yeah.
Especially when they're other business owners, because they know how fucking hard it can be sometimes.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Don't be afraid to ask.
Yeah. So that's just one example of the types of questions we get sent in. But yeah, if you guys want to send in questions, feel free to do so. We love to answer them. This show in Tradewinds and everything that we do is all about providing massive value. One final thing here as we're going through all of this. When we were doing these core episodes originally, so the original 1 through 9, Tradewinds wasn't even a thought. And now...
No, it wasn't.
Now we have Tradewinds. And so, you know, before on episodes 1 through 9, this show was all the free advice we could give you, but implementing that advice, implementation, was very difficult because you'd get emailed in questions and everyone's situation's different and all of that. And so now we have Tradewinds where if you guys would like to pay a monthly fee, you can join Tradewinds and get full access to all of this advice and more and implementation. And there's a private Facebook group with tons of other business owners on it that will, you know, share all of their advice and what they do to solve problems and everything. And it's a really neat resource to have that has kind of spawned from all of this stuff.
Yeah, and we stay, I don't think I've ever said this on the show because we just don't like to give out a whole lot of information about that, but like we stay between 45 and 50 members in that group. Like we've never been more than 50.
Yeah.
But the value that the other guys that are in that group can give you mm-hmm. trumps anything that Mitch and I can give you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we are, let's be honest, we are great coaches. We have a very passionate heart for teaching and getting everyone on the right path. But dude, there are guys in that group that will literally spend hours of their own time.
Yeah.
Answering other guys' questions about, yep. hey, what do I do with this? Because I think a lot of them, you know, like I was saying before, you know, business owners see the struggle that other business owners go through, and they're more than willing to help.
Yep.
More than willing to help.
Yeah.
It's a great community.
It's kind of like parents, right? I can tell my kid not to do something or to do something, and I'm going to get friction because I'm his dad. And that's what dads are supposed to say, right?
Especially your kids.
Right. But you can tell my kid, you, David, can tell my kid not to do something or do something.
Smack him in the side of the head and be like, dude, what are you doing?
They listen, right? And it's part of it's just because when you're in the position of authority, people have a predisposition that of course you're supposed to tell me that kind of thing, right? And so that's one of the cool powers of Tradewinds is you're going to hear like what David and I would say to do, but you're also going to hear what other guys are actually doing.
And they're telling you the same shit and it carries more weight.
Right. They're largely telling you the same thing. It just means something different from somebody that's at your level instead of a couple steps ahead of you.
Yeah.
So,
super proud to have that group.
But, as we continue to roll through these rehash of the core episodes, this is going to go through probably episode 210.
Email, keep rolling them, man.
Yeah,
keep
email in questions and keep clicking them off as we go, and we will keep rolling through these. They're probably a little bit more efficient as we go, and some things have changed a little bit, but that's part of why we wanted to rehash the original core. So until next week, guys, we will see you later. Next week's episode will be on business finance preparation. So, all right,
love
see you.
See you.